Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
How can we get the next generation to take better care of the planet that we have, okay? Why not start in our schools? Let's start there. That seems like the logical thing to do. And Patrick Kirwan is a science and biology teacher who is trying to make nature great again. He's on the line now. Patrick, how's it going?
Very good. Thanks a million for having me on.
Great to have you. Okay, so where in the country are you, first of all?
I am in Ord Scoilmara in Tramore in County Waterford.
Okay.
A lovely place on the coast.
Lovely, lovely. Did you say, it says here you had some time teaching in London.
I did. I was in London for 10 years. I trained and taught in London for 10 years and then I moved back home.
Okay.
I was missing the coast and the sea breeze.
Of course you were. Is that when you kind of realise how disconnected some kids are from nature when you're in a big city like that?
Well, I think actually, I mean, I kind of knew that when I was at home anyway. Mm. You realise that with every generation, there's something that we call a shifting baseline syndrome, where the world is just getting a little greyer and greyer and less green with every generation. But we just see this as something that's normal. So when my dad was growing up, there was a river by his house that was, you know, had otters running along it, and the river was full of fish. And before I was born, he realized that actually, look, they're actually disappearing. And nature is changing around us, but we're not really kind of aware of it.
What simple things did you do with students to get them to engage then in the natural world? I mean, that's quite a drastic thing your dad did with you. It's like, look, there's a family of otters and next year, okay, that family of otters are gone or there's less or whatever. I mean, it's effective, I would say, but how do you do that with kids that you teach?
Well, I think actually, you know, with kids and adults, I think we need to kind of lift the veil. So I think if you ask a member of the public, whether that be an adult or a child, why is nature important? I think they'd have a really difficult job articulating why nature is important and giving a comprehensive answer. And I think that's because it's not something that we think about. Mm. It's not something that we've taught in schools in any meaningful way. So this is something new to us. And what's really interesting is you hear someone like Frank Elderson from the ECB coming out with a statement that humanity needs nature to survive, and so do the economy and the banks. The more species become extinct, the less diverse are the ecosystems on which we rely. This presents a growing financial risk that cannot be ignored. And what's interesting is this language is new, as is the realization that by more and more business leaders that, like, when ecosystems collapse, so too does their business model. So I think part of it is actually making sure that kids and adults know what's going on. And then in terms of what we can do, well, in London, I started an environmental leadership development program. So I brought kids outside. Well, first of all, I brought them outside and we were doing little things outside in the school garden. And it was only kids who opted into the program. So I used to be able to kind of work with about 10 kids at a time. And then the principal in that school said to me, right, we want you to bring a class group out. And I was like, well, God, that would be really difficult because we don't have any resources. So it's not like I have an outdoor classroom with the kit that you would have, you know, the equivalent kit that you'd have in a science classroom or a woodwork classroom. So I had to kind of make it up on the spot. And so what I thought, look, what I'll do is I'll train a small group of kids and I'll teach them how to deliver workshops in upcycling pallets into kind of planters or bird boxes, workshops in growing in a very small greenhouse that we had at the time, workshops in planting beds, workshops basically taking care of chickens. And so eventually I kind of grew the garden on site. And what we would do is we'd take a group of kids downstairs, a class, and then we'd pair them up with an environmental leader, a student, who would run that workshop for half an hour in the middle of the school day with maybe five or 10 kids. And it was amazing. So the kids who came down, you know, these are London kids, they would be like, why is he doing this to us? Mm. I was working in a school where the kids were very vocal, and they'd tell you straight away whether they're bored or they're enjoying your lesson. And when they came down, you just hear silence, you know, or the quiet murmurings of chat while they're at their different stations working away. And at the end of the session, they would say to me, is that it? Do we not get another session? So they get 3 days, and then would really miss the activity. So back in Ireland, I finally last year managed to replicate that program, and the school invested, the principal here invested in an outdoor classroom. Now this is like a commercial sized polycarbonate structure, so we can grow inside, we can grow vegetables, but it's not just good enough to have, you know, raised beds that you actually, you plant something in. That's kind of, it's not great because actually you need something for the kids to do throughout the year. So we have tables where we deliver workshops on a variety of different activities every day. And we teach the TY students, or leaders, and we invest heavily in them. And they take first-year classes, well-being classes, second-year well-being classes, and third-year well-being classes. And they teach them these practical activities, but they also teach them a curriculum. So they go through little talks about, like, for example, at the moment, the topic is soil. So we talk about why is soil important? What are we doing to the soil? So we focus on fertilizers and all the impacts that they have, and then we focus on the alternatives. And what the students are basically saying is that they would love more time in the outdoor classroom.
Okay. So, look, we talked about eco-anxiety on the show yesterday. A lot of people suffer with it and find it quite difficult to get their head around the magnitude of the problems we have and where we need to go and our goals for 2050. Do you see it in students? Do you see some students have a bit of eco-anxiety as to the damage we're doing to our planet? And are they positive? Are they negative?
I think there's well, it can vary from class to class, you know, in terms of how the students feel about this. But I think there's probably a good few students, and I don't have actually data on this, it'd be interesting to get, I mean, data within my own school, but there's a good few students, I think, who are concerned, but it's not a kind of concern that affects their functioning in daily life or gives them anxiety on a daily basis. And then there's a very, very small, like a handful of students in a you know, a school of 1,200 that actually are deeply, deeply concerned and do have climate anxiety. And I think the thing is, most of this, like a lot of people are kind of, because of what you just said, they don't watch the news anymore. They try and steer away from, trying to get run through the gauntlet of Monday to Friday and basically you know, just get to the weekend, essentially, take a breath, do what they need to do, and then go into the next week. So they don't want to engage with it. But I think really we're doing the kids a disservice here. Like, yeah, we as adults need to put on our big girl pants and big boy pants and step up and face this and launch us into a more certain future. And I think this is the problem, is that we're actually as adults ignoring it. And we do need to step up, because actually we're the only ones at the moment who've got the power to actually change this.
So you think nature should be a subject in schools? I'm all for it. But have you had any enthusiasm about that idea from parents or teachers, unions or the Department of Education?
Well, so I work with the Irish Schools Sustainability Network, and we're a group of teachers and students across Ireland who are trying to lobby for change. And I think there would be definitely an appetite, I think, there from students and from teachers. But the problem is resources.
Yeah.
So, and we know that with education, change happens very, very, very slowly. And this is something that we need to address. So I think up and down the country, you have got individual champions, teachers, who are doing incredible work. But that's based on their values and their attitudes, and it's their choice. This isn't actually something that should be a choice. It should be woven into the system, and actually the materials should be there for people to use. So, for example, just in our school, I was trying to get a pond installed over the summer, but that was a bit of a battle. You know, something as simple as a pond to get on a school site. And it's not a battle with, you know, with the management in the school. It's a battle with the group that actually manage the site itself. And that's, that, you know, at this stage in the game, this we should be pushing on open doors. And we should be changing the school environment, because I think what we're doing is we're paying a lip service to the things that should happen. But there's a big step between kind of what we're saying and actually what we're doing. So, you know, when kids step on a school site, we should see that there's a meadow there. So the grasses, the grassy spaces that we have, we should see that there's plants and pollinators, ponds. There should be, nature shouldn't be in the distance, because these are all really simple things that would have a massive impact on mental health. Mm-hmm. But also actually for kids who do have eco-anxiety, they can see that actually, look, the school has this in, well, I was going to say the school has this in hand. I don't think, you know, having it at hand, we need to do a hell of a lot. But they can see that if a school is doing this, they care. They're creating, they're changing the spaces around them. Nature is now not in the distance. It's actually like in our playground with apple trees and native trees. And they're also creating spaces in school to have these conversations.
Well, it is a sector that's going to provide 18 million jobs around the world by 2030, apparently. So we're not just talking about a nice idea here, are we?
No, I mean, like, this is what's really interesting, actually, is that the students that are involved in the environmental leadership program and students, you know, in other year groups who opt into kind of after school activities, they're just having a whale of a time. You know, they're building their confidence, they're building their skills, they're having fun, they're socializing, they're networking, they're taking up, you know, opportunities to get involved in the children's and young people's biodiversity assistance assembly. They're talking on panel discussions, and some students, you know, one past student that we had, I can think of Matthew Murray. Matthew, you know, is one of the students who's really smart. He's just like, the world is changing. You know, we're trying to move into a more sustainable space. So if I actually want to be more employable, I'm going to have to work on my you know, nature literacy, my climate literacy, and I'm going to have to start getting experience in some of these areas. So he's enjoying that, but he's also smartly thinking, actually, I need some mm-hmm. skills, and he's building on it. And that's what, you know, I think we as an education system, and we as teachers, haven't really caught up with that yet. Even though the changes, particularly in the junior cycle curriculum, have been implemented. But I think what's difficult without, you know, more training, it's difficult for people to connect the dots.
Well, we just need to keep pushing. What would your advice be to parents who are listening to this, who it's resonating with and think, yeah, I want this for my kids. I want this for their secondary school or primary school.
Well, do you know what? I would advise them, one, to get in touch and say that to the senior leadership team and ask the school what they're doing. And if the school is up for this and they're up for kind of making these changes, as simple as putting in an orchard and a pond and growing a meadow on site, then the parents could actually say to the school, look, what supports can we provide you? So if you're struggling here with kind of funding, which, you know, many schools are, maybe actually we can actually help you to contact local businesses to actually, you know, get involved here and provide you with some support. So, for example, we have Sanofi in Waterford, who have given us 60,000 over 3 years, and that has helped us to run the Environmental Leadership Development Program by actually paying a horticulturist or a permaculturist, as the case may be here, to come in and actually help train the students and be there in the classes when the TYs are delivering this program. Because I'm a full-time teacher, so actually this isn't built into my timetable. And what's really sad is that we shouldn't have to depend on a company like Sanofi to do that. You know, we should be getting that from the Department of Education. So when this money runs out, you know, we've got a really tried and tested program here. It's well evaluated. The students love it. The teachers love it. It's without a doubt having a massive impact on the students. But what do we do if this funding runs out? And I think, you know, we should be getting that support from the Department of Education.
Absolutely. Patrick, I'll let you get back to your day job. Thank you so much for taking the call and giving us all food for thought. There we go. That was Patrick Kirwan of the Irish School Sustainability Network. But I'd love to know what you think.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.